The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I know some of you could tell that, okay, but some of you were totally fooled by my great impersonation. No, I'm not Donald Trump. Would you like to meet me? Would you like to meet the real me? Would you? Okay, fine. Good to meet you. I'm George W. Hello. It's good to see you guys. It's great to be out here with you today. I love imitating Donald Trump. He's bigger than life.
Presidential impersonator John Morgan, next on Life Today.
Welcome to all of you. Welcome to Life Today. It's hard to believe that you can have a guest like we have, the President of the United States of America.
Thank you so much. I see you, James Betty. So good to see you. Don't get up, don't get up. Hello, everybody. Thank you. So great to be here on Life Today, because it's so much better than being on Death Today. You know what I'm saying? It's such a fantastic thing to be here with each and every one of you. You are huge, and I'm not talking about physically, okay? I'm talking about your wonderful, wonderful, God-fearing people, and that's the kind of people I like to hang around because they make me feel good about myself, okay? Listen, being with you, James and Betty, is so fantastic because James and Betty are doing such a fantastic work in the world. And James did not ask me to say this, but he digs wells. Can you dig it? You know, he provides water, okay? And he not only provides life-giving water that's wet, but he also provides the kind that goes into your soul. It helps you become a better person, and I think that's fantastic. You know, that's about as far as I go with philosophy, okay, but that's so great. You know, it's been so much fun being the President of the United States, and it's been such a joy, okay, to accomplish so many things. I mean, so many, you know, James, I've actually kept more promises than I actually made. And, you know, you've been doing this for a good many years, James and Betty. And I must say, James, you look actually fantastic personally. And I do, too. Don't you think, ladies and gentlemen, do I look all right? Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, I don't know what it is. Most presidents, when they've been president for a while, they start looking old and ragged, okay? But my doctor tells me I'm actually getting younger every day. It's so weird. I don't even know how to explain it other than to say, I love the American people, and I love to be around them, and I love what I do. But I actually have a confession to make, folks. You know what it is? I'm not really Donald Trump. I know some of you could tell that, okay, but some of you were totally fooled by my great impersonation. No, I'm not Donald Trump. Would you like to meet me? Would you like to meet the real me? Would you? Okay, fine. Good to meet you. I'm George W. It's good to see you guys. It's great to be out here with you today. I love imitating Donald Trump. He's bigger than life. It's just the weirdest thing, you know. Kind of reminds me of when I first met Laura. You know, when I first met Laura, she was a librarian. That's why I checked her out in the first place. And she helps me with my weird with my words. Sometimes I boogerize my English, but I'll have you know I am fluent in over 9 different body languages. Some of which I had to give up after I got saved. Just saying. But I would like to lead you in a little chant that will help you grow as individuals. Say this after me. Courage.
Courage.
Communication.
Communication.
Character.
Character.
I call those the 4 C's of leadership. Hey, it takes a lot of courage to do what I did. Run the country, fight terrorists, be anywhere close to Dick Cheney. But, you know, when you're a leader, you've got to lead by your principles and stand by your values, even when it seems like nobody else in the
media thinks your ideas are any good. I can appreciate that, what old Donald's going through. But you know what? It made me tough. And now I've got thick skin like an elephant, which is the symbol of the Republican Party. My Democratic friends here today are depicted as a donkey, or as our friends to the South would call you, burritos. Now, the second C is communication. And do not underestimate. Communication is the most important part of talking. That's right. And I've studied the studies. You know, it's very important to say the words that you mean to say with intent, carefully. Or else you can create an international incident, as I learned during a recent trip to Krakistan. There's a big difference between saying, I want a cracker, and I am a cracker. Now, the third C is character. And I know you know what I mean by character. Character is who you are when no one's looking. Well, I've flown Air Force One all over the world, and I've seen character up close and personal. It's been fantastic. I've slept in Buckingham Palace. I watched the sunrise over Jerusalem. And I have feasted in the deserts of Abu Dhabi. I love that word. Abu Dhabi. Beautiful place. Funny word. I think it means son of Dhabi. But it sounds like something Fred Flintstone would say. You know, what did Abu Dhabi do? So, anyway, to capsize what I'm trying to get across to you, I want to continue to be an influencer, you know, an inspirator,
yeah.
You know. Influence, it's important. It's like that Ripley effect, you know. It's a lot like influenza, because both are contagious. And so I've been thinking, well, what is it that moves people? And, you know, it's music. Music is the universal language. Everyone speaks it. We all have songs that moved us when we were little kids. And we all know great American anthems like, help me out with this one. Oh, say can you
see?
See? Well done. That was the fourth C, by the way. I like the letter C because it's also a word. I see you. A three-letter sentence that's so important, every hospital has a wing named just after it. It's amazing. Now, C is good, but D is my favorite letter. You know why? Because it's the first letter in the word W. So anyway, I've been taking some music lessons from my good friend Willie Nelson. He's legal in 11 states. And I brought my little mini guitar. Y'all want to hear a song?
Yeah.
All right, it's right here. Now, this is a little ditty I wrote just to encourage people. You know, I get to spend a lot of time in airports and stuff, and it's nice to have something nice to say to folks. So this is a little song that I wrote. You know, you got to be willing to try new things, painting like I do and thinking outside the box. See, right here, I've got 20 cents, but if I toss it over there at the cameraman, that becomes a paradigm shift. All right. Life is so worth celebrating, hand in hand. Live a life worth imitating, sing along. The world's a better place because of you. Why do we see one another and compare our lives together, thinking that the greener grass is anywhere but here? Truth breaks in like a revelation. You're a part of God's creation. You were born with your own story. Singing, dancing, giving glory. Shine, shine. Set your eyes on things above now. Shine, shine. You are someone made for love now. Shine, shine. Join in the applause of God and shine, shine. Set your shine, shine. You are someone made for love. So shine. Be-do, be-do. Thank you. Thank you so much.
John Morgan, would you welcome John Morgan to Life Today?
Thank you, everybody.
Now, you would just walk in a place and people thought it was the president because you don't even have on a lot of makeup, right?
Right.
Very little.
This is the gift God gave me.
Yeah. I imagine you found that very, very interesting. I'm going to cut to a shot where George Bush was sitting in this studio like you are. And he came here and said to all of our television audience, and the studio was filled with people who were interested, he said, well, my family says they want me to run. They give me the approval, and you're the first to hear it. So I said, let's pray for him together to the audience and to the viewers. And I just bowed my head to pray for him. And I went to the prayer breakfast, and I was there with Coach McCartney, who had Promise Keepers going big. And I said, Coach, look, he was in our studio a little while ago asking for prayer. And I showed him the picture, and then Coach said, look at him. He's reaching out, and he put his hand on top of my hand. And what McCartney said there at the presidential prayer breakfast, he said, do you not see the significance of that? Here's the man who's going to become president of the United States, and he's reaching out to Christians saying, pray for me. I think that's a message you must carry with all the gifting God's given you. Every civic club, every corporation, every church that wants to invite you, and I want you to tell them how they can find you. But you need to be going and show them glimpses of the president, but reminding all of us that God told us to pray for those in authority.
Yes.
Don't you believe it's time for us to really be praying for all who are in authority all over the world? I mean, really pray. And ask God to have his way. Do you bear witness with that, that that'd be an incredible mission even for you to be on right now?
It would be an amazing opportunity for me to place a small role in reconciling people back to God and reconciling our nation back to its original purpose and destiny in God.
Tell us how we could get a hold of you, the viewers, and say, okay, what if we want to know more about you? We're going to talk about his book, War on Fear, which is, fear is an incredible thing. Nearly destroyed Betty's life. Mm-hmm. But if they wanted to invite you to come and know more, where would they go?
They would go to my website, johncmorgan.com.
All right, and you'll tell them how they can contact you about an invitation. Perhaps how they could get anything you have, you offer that's entertaining or about what you're doing, right?
Exactly correct.
All right, tell me about this book.
I had an awakening. I was in church one day and I was pondering John 10:10, which is the theme of the book. And I knew that we were called to a life that was far greater than what I was seeing around me. And I said, Lord, what's the disconnect? And at first, God showed me that unbelief was a huge disconnect. And right in the middle of the service, I almost shouted, I declare war on unbelief. And not long after that, the Lord showed me that fear is unbelief's evil twin sister. And so at the top of my lungs in my home, I shouted, I declare war on fear. And so I've been studying how fear operates, almost like studying the enemy. Sure. And there are certain triggers.
Because God didn't give us a spirit of fear.
No.
So that comes from another spirit, which is a foul, deceiving, destructive spirit.
Oh, there's a lot of simple truths in the book. I wrote the book the way I like to read. I like to read simple things that have a point and then move on to the next thing that I can digest and learn from and grow from. So, you know, I'm a comedian, so it deals with the topic in a very lighthearted way, and yet it's very transformative. When you look at the reviews on Amazon, people's lives have really been changed by reading this simple book because the truths in it are profound but very easy to see. The devil's a trickster, but he's not real good at it. You know, he's been doing it for thousands of years, but like, he'll put a what-if thought in your mind, an imagination, if you will. He's got like this little projector that produces worst-case scenarios, videos. And Betty, you probably remember that from your past. Mm-hmm. He said, if I do that, this might happen. Yeah. But the projected idea isn't truth. It's a lie. But it presents itself to you as reality. Mm-hmm. And so you
allow that to stop you from obeying the one who died for you, who loves you, who gave himself for you, who invites you to a great adventure. So the book is designed to help people see clearly what Satan's doing when he, or what your own biology is doing, because there's a certain part of us, you know, that whole lizard brain and the fight or flight part of our anatomy that tries to stop us from doing daring, risky things. There's no risk in obeying God. That's the bottom line.
Did you have a personal, let's say, challenge in your own life with fear for some reason?
Fear was my middle name. When I was younger, I went through a great deal of rejection, James, and that rejection shut me down. It owned me. It had a leash on my back and said, you can do this, but you can't do that. You can go here, but you can't talk to that person. It shut me down. And the beginning of the change was when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and he gave me a new identity.
So how did he identify fear as a factor involved with that sense of rejection? How did that, you know, how did that manifest? And then how did God show you that that had to go?
Through my own study of the Word of God, by beginning to understand that obeying God is never wrong. See, God will show us different little things to do, give you a nudge, go talk to this person, share something with that person. And most Christians, most people, those little nudges, they just pass in one ear and out the other, and people don't even consider that it might be serious, it might be a big deal. One day I was in the lobby of a hotel, and there was a handicapped fella over there, and I got one of those nudges, go over there and introduce yourself to that guy. That guy introduced me to my wife.
My goodness.
God doesn't want...
What if you hadn't gone?
I know, right?
What if fear stopped you?
I know, I know.
Okay, so did you go through like Betty, you fought fear?
Yeah, fear for me became very paralyzing in my life to me, as far as I grew up in the church. I so wanted to be good. I thought that way God would receive me. But if I'm not good, he's going to get me. You know, so I tried everything that I thought that the way I should be. And I seemed like I failed at everything. I tried to be perfect in my eyes, instead of listening to God and saying, let me show you what I want you to be. And same as you, when I came to know him as my personal Lord and Savior, that I realized that it wasn't all the good works that I could do, but it's what he did. For me.
He was good on our behalf.
Yes.
So that we could simply have a relationship with him that's not dependent upon our works.
Right.
I had one lady share with me that she was robbed at gunpoint and pistol whipped. And because of that, she couldn't go out of her house at night. She couldn't even take the garbage out for years. And after reading my book and then kind of going back through it again, she stood up. She said, I'm not going to let fear. And it was because she chose not to believe the lies of fear, and she chose to trust in the living God and to take on the role of head of her home. And she started going outside at night, and then, you know, when you do a thing more and more times, it becomes less fearful because it becomes more normal.
And I think if we move into the shelter and shadow of the Almighty, which I want to pray that
Absolutely.
For you. Father, there are people watching right now that the enemy's got a grip somewhere. And we just stand with them. And we ask you, Father, to break the yoke.
Yes,
break
God.
That grip, that shackle. Break the yoke. Lighten the load. And Lord, just help them to accept the fact that you have promised that you will break the yoke. And that you will actually carry the load. Not only lighten it, but you'll bear it with them. And I pray, dear God, right now that you'll just set people free from fear and from any grip the enemy has on them. In Jesus' name. Would you say thanks to John for encouraging us and, I think, challenging us to understand the importance of praying for our leaders. I think if you'll carry that message to pray for those in authority, wouldn't it be wonderful if our national leaders, if Congress would accept God's invitation, which was to a nation that God said, they don't know me. An oxen knows the master, but my own people don't even know me. But in that same chapter, one of Isaiah, he said, come, let us reason together. And though your faults and your sins and your weaknesses are as filthy rags, they're like scarlet, they'll become white as snow. Let's really pray. And I hope you encourage people as you travel, pray for all of our leaders.
Yes.
Let's pray that church leaders will come to the table of reason. And let's watch God heal our land and our hearts. John, we are putting our arms around people right now that have been held captive as sex slaves all over the world. Mm-hmm. Some of our friends have put up a matching gift for whatever you give to set people free. And I believe you're going to want to help. I want you to listen to the Lord as you also listen to someone express what God is doing and desires to do and can do with your help. What you see, we hold the key. We hold the solution. Watch closely.
In a world filled with poverty and hopelessness, the young, the innocent, the vulnerable can easily fall victim to friendly strangers as well as trusted relatives who, in reality, are sex predators looking for their next victim. Gitu, whose real name we can't reveal, shares her story.
Because of poverty, my aunt took me to India to sell me. When we arrived in India at 4 a.m., that's when my aunt told me what I was going to be doing. She said, whatever husband and wife do is what you do, but it will be with 10 to 15 men a night. I was shocked. I couldn't utter words. She told me if I didn't do it, that she would kill me. They kept me locked up for about a week, and they would feed me one slice of bread in the morning and one slice in the evening. That's how they broke me down. When I wasn't performing, I would cry and cry. There was nothing I could do. I was going to end up dead in that place. A sense of hopelessness came over me.
Fortunately, Gitu was rescued from her captors by our mission partners in South Asia. She was taken to their safe house, where she is recovering from years of physical abuse and where she is being restored spiritually.
I have no fear now. I can learn a skill and have a life after this. There is hope for me.
You're the ones that offer that hope. What you just heard is a miracle story, a horrible reality, but the miracle effect of love. I want to ask you right now to please go get a bank card or get a check. And I want you to make a love gift that changes everything. Everyone is in place to reach, rescue, and restore precious ones, just like the story you heard. You heard the horror, and you see the miracle, a miracle of love. Whatever you give is going to be matched by another love miracle. $250,000 put up to match what you give today. The average cost to set the wheel in motion for the rescue, the restoration process to reach them and then turn everything around, is an average of $128. Could you make that gift and know that I didn't just touch one and reach one, but two now? Some people say, you know, $128 is more than I can do, but if you give 64, it'll be matched. We've got the 128. Whatever you can do right now will be matched because of love. Your gift will be because of the love of God for these precious ones who are held captive. Horrific story, but it's reality. Would you please call that number or go online and make the gift God put on your heart? We have some gifts to send you. Some of the gifts were made by those who've been set free. The bracelet, the tote bag. We're going to send that to you. They're learning a trade, a craft, but you set them free. Would you please right now make the gift God put on your heart? If you do, mail it in and write a check, make it to Life. But call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail. Thank you so much for doing that.
Behind the bright lights, there is a darkness where a world of innocence is lost and abuse runs rampant, scarring the souls of children with no one and nowhere to turn for help. With bodies broken and hopes crushed, these young victims are trapped in a never-ending nightmare. Today, you can shine the light of God's love in this dark world to reach, rescue, and restore these young ones to the life God designed for them to live. With a generous $250,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift, we'll send you this beautiful freedom bracelet, handcrafted by survivors of human trafficking who want to say thank you for helping those still trapped. Wear it as a wonderful reminder to pray for the outreach. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Freedom Tote. This quality canvas tote bag is made by trafficked survivors who are now learning a new trade and includes spiritual life resources such as books, devotionals, CDs, or DVDs. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help rescue 20 children, and you may request our beautiful new bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You know, from the depth of our heart, Betty and I just want to say thank you. And, you know, you heard the reference to the fear. And I couldn't help but think some of you might want John Morgan's book, The War on Fear. I'm telling you what, it's a biggie, Betty.
Yes, it is.
I think of how it could have really kept a beautiful expression of love. At least you wouldn't have been doing it on television because she was frightened. This is a really good book. Remember, John could come and bless your group, your company, your corporation, your business, your church family, and really not only help you smile and laugh, but remind us of the importance of praying for all those in authority. Would you join Betty and me in saying thanks to John Morgan for making us smile and reminding us to pray? John, I appreciate you. Really want God to bless you, man. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for watching Life Today. Thanks for sharing it with others.
There is a spiritual battle raging all around us, and you and I, we're going to learn how to do battle in Jesus' name.
Tomorrow, Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.